From the trails, woods, and waters of the Great Lakes State to the Michigan Talk Network, it's Wild Michigan with your host, Duran Martinez.
Welcome to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez. Sans most of my voice, I don't know. Wild Michigan brought to you in part by Lucky Buck Deer Mineral. Time is now, as it is all year long, but especially now to get that attractant out there. Get that lucky buck out there. Lucky-buck.com. Remember the three-county area that baiting is prohibited in Michigan. Ingham, Shiawassee, and Clinton County. Go to michigan.gov/CWD for more information on turning in your deer heads. And they're not going to keep the antlers. Okay, let's make that clear now. They don't want your antlers. If you do, I mean, there's ways that you're going to be able to keep your skull and everything else for European mount. Okay, the three different locations in the core area of Lansing, over off of Jolly Road for deer check stations. Also, the Rose Lake area and Williamston will have all that information as well. So fear not, your deer head will be intact. And all that information, again, is at michigan.gov/CWD. And our friends at Lucky Buck do a great job of updating the whole website for the whole country as to where you can and cannot use Lucky Buck. Also, HHA Sports, Costa Sunglasses, our friends at MUCC, all getting on board, as well as Darton Archery. So thanks to each and every one of you for being a part of this show. We are in October. It's like, boom, all of a sudden, October just happened. We're smack dab literally in the middle of it. And it's kind of freaking me out because I don't know what happened to the year. All of a sudden, it's October. It's the middle of October. We're heading toward November. But when we think October, we think Lake Erie and walleye fishing, at least a lot of us do. I've been thinking bow hunting, but we turned to Lance Valentine for the Lake Erie thing. And Lance, I was up in the UP last weekend, and the wind has been horrible up there, not just for a day or two, but for weeks. And that's also affecting Lake Erie. How you doing, man?
I'm doing great. Sorry you're sick. Hope you get over that pretty quick. That's kind of a cruddy thing. But the wind is kind of, you know, in the fall for us walleye guys, it's kind of a friend and a foe, you know. Right now it's really brutal. I know the guys, there's some guys in town for a couple big events in Ohio right now. A national championship for the Masters Walleye Circuit is next weekend. And I've been talking to some of the guys who are in town, and they haven't been able to fish. They've been down there basically, got into town Wednesday, Thursday this week, and have had a few hours on Friday morning to fish, and just haven't had a chance to fish this week at all due to the high winds. But you know, the wind helps us when it first starts because, you know, we need that water, number one, to turn over so we can get rid of the thermocline. Number two, you know, to start blowing some colder water, you know, into the lake and start turning the lake over, getting that cold water. That's what brings the fish into the western part of Lake Erie into where we fish in Huron, Ohio. So that wind is kind of a help. But, man, when it blows 15, 20, 25 miles an hour, it does a couple things. It kind of moves the fish, which is, can be a positive, but it also creates a situation where the water gets really, really dirty. And anybody that fish for walleye knows that dirty water is tough. Fish need to see a bait to bite it. And we get this chocolate milk water, it just kind of really shuts fishing down for a while. And now we've got wind so strong, guys can't even get out and fish. So hopefully it'll be gone in a week or two when we get down there. But, yeah, the wind in the fall can be definitely play havoc with your fishing plans.
And right now, Lake Erie, October, that's when you guys start doing your trophy hunts, and that's when the big fish seem to be caught in the fall time.
Yeah, we like water temperatures right around, you know, 55, 56 degrees is when we really start getting excited about fishing down there. 52 is kind of the magic number. When you get 52 degrees, it's on. You know, bait fish are making a huge move into towards current. There's lots of current coming out of the Huron River, the Vermilion River. If you look at a map, the reason here in Ohio is such a great, great place in the fall is it's basically a bay. It's the southernmost point on Lake Erie, and it kind of forms a bay there. And the fish coming back that spawn in Detroit, spawn in the Western Basin Reefs, and spend a little bit of time April, May in the islands area there around Port Clinton, they all head east and chase bait all summer. So they'll go all the way to Buffalo and turn around and come back. And as they come back, that warmer water and that more consistent water coming out of the rivers down there in the Huron, Sandusky, Vermilion area draw bait fish into the warmer water. And, you know, river water is a little more stable than lake water. It doesn't change as fast and as often. So these fish are attracted to where these bait fish are coming into these rivers, and they get these big, giant schools of big walleyes that just kind of hang out in Huron for, you know, 2 or 3 months, late October, November, December. They hang out right in there just to feed up for the fall. So we got a perfect situation of lots of bait, lots of fish, hungry fish, and fish that want to bite. We just have to get the right weather conditions so we can get out there and put the snack down on some big walleyes.
And when we say big, we mean big. We mean bigger than like 8 pounds.
Yeah. You're not going to get anybody to go, wow, until you catch a fish up in the 31, 32, 33-inch range. You know, guys will come to the fish cleaning station and go, hey, we got 2 10-pounders, and go, well, these guys did two, and these guys did two, and these guys did two. So although a 10-pound fish is a big fish and should definitely be treated as such, and you should be excited about it, it's really not that big of a deal in this area at that time of year because there's a lot of them there and a lot of them being caught. So, you know, 31, 32, 11 and a half, 12 pounds is where you really start going, wow. A couple years ago, we had a fish over 15 pounds caught on our trip. You know, so it takes 12, 12 and a half, close to 13 every year to win big fish award on our weekend. So it's definitely a spot where you're going to catch lots of 7, 8, 9 pound fish and definitely have a chance of catching a fish a lifetime every time you get a bite.
Yeah, that's something that we look forward to doing someday. You know, we've been talking about it for going on our 10th year.
Well, we've been inviting you for 10 years.
I know. But, dude, you know my schedule. It's just like this morning, you know.
You got to get your butt out of the woods one year for a couple days and come on down and see what's going on.
Well, you know, as we'll be talking about the October lull, which I'm experiencing right now with bow hunting, I usually turn to duck hunting on the same piece of property because there's a pond and the wood ducks are rather plentiful. So we've been out doing that a little bit. But believe me, when the winds cool down for a few seconds and Lance Valentine gives me a 6-hour heads up, I'm gone.
You've been saying that forever. So we need to get to, you know, it sounds like everything you do, you just sit around. We need to get your butt on the boat where you're moving and you're setting lines and you're reeling fish and we're driving around the lake and, you know, we're constantly, plus we can talk, man. You sit in that deer stand, you're all by yourself, and I don't know about you, but, you know, deer hunting involves 4 things I don't do: getting up early, sitting by myself, being quiet, and not moving. So I have a hard time with the deer hunting thing. So I became a fall fisherman. So we need to get you out there and have the experience. I'd love to see you. I'd love to see you smack into a big fatty.
Well, you know what? I'd love to do it. And you know, when it comes to fall deer hunting, you know, in a tree stand with the solitude, God, it's not overrated, Lance, let me tell you.
Oh, I don't know. I'm not a very good home person. I start talking to myself, and sometimes I don't like what I say. So.
Well, that's what probably makes you the perfect walleye angler as well. So, and you know, the nice thing, too, what we've learned about you and about what you do, is the instruction, you know, I've learned so much going out with my friends with like Ron Spensley and talking with you, that when we actually got out to the boat this year with Jim Miller from Lucky Dog Charters, that I'm out there, I'm helping set hooks and I'm helping, yep, you know, net fish. I'm not really setting any lines out on the planer boards, but I really have the concept more in hand than I know I did the very first year we did the show.
And that's, you know, that's the whole focus of our Walleye Education Weekend. You know, we always do it the first weekend of November. And, you know, this year, you know, continues that theme. We've added some more workshops. So every morning of the trip, if guys want to stick around, we'll have two half-hour quick little workshops on some basic stuff. We've got a lot of Walleye 101 staff. You know, something as simple as calibrating your line counter reel. So 100 on the counter is actually 100 feet of measured line. We have stations set up to help you get your line counters right. We're going to have, obviously, workshops and seminars on sonar and GPS. We're going to have on-the-water stuff.
All right.
We've got some really cool guest speakers coming this year.
Hold that thought, man. We're going to talk more about what's coming up with you, Lance Valentine, Walleye 101, here on Wild Michigan on the Michigan Talk Network.
This is Ono Hagen of clarebirchley.ie, inviting you to fish County Clare, Ireland. Now back to Duran Martinez and Wild Michigan.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. Had conversation with Mr. Owen O'Hagan earlier today. Speaking with Lance Valentine from Walleye 101 right now. Before we get back into talking about Lake Erie, Lance, there is some new Saginaw Bay regulations that went into effect immediately from the NRC. For walleye, daily possession limit increased from 5 to 8 fish. Minimum size has been reduced from 15 to 13 inches. And for yellow perch, daily possession limit has been reduced from 50 to 25 fish. So, I got people's thoughts on that, and a lot of them were mixed, but mainly leaning towards the one side of they were, in agreement with it. But somebody that's on the bay as much as you are, I want to get your take.
Here's what I'm going to assume. I know of the guys who make the regulations on Saginaw Bay, and I know that they are great biologists, great scientists. Here is my only issue, right? We handled a little over 540 legal walleyes this year on Saginaw Bay. I had less, right around 30 that were under 15 inches. So we did not catch a lot of fish under 15 inches. Our fish were, 16 to 22 on the average, with every once in a while 24, 25 inches thrown in there. So we didn't see any of this. So my only issue, and I don't always say an issue, but my question is, okay, now I'm a charter boat captain. I take 3 customers. I can keep 15 fish. No problem. I catch my 15 fish. Now I can keep 24. And my customers are going to want to catch 24 because that's their limit. And no matter what anybody says, when people come fish and they judge the success of their day, no matter how much they learn, and my guys are a little easier to go, hey, we didn't catch a lot, but we learned a lot. But they're going to expect to catch their 24. So now I go out, I catch 23 walleyes on a 5-hour charter. It wasn't we got our 15 plus a couple extras and we learned a little bit. It was, hey, we were one short of a limit. So the idea of what success is starts to be changed. And the big thing for me is if I get customers that want to keep their 24, I'm not going to tell them no. I'm going to try to encourage them not to. But if they want to keep their 24, and let's say I'm on a good school of fish, I'm catching 18 to 22-inch fish. I'm getting them good. That's my normal summertime Saginaw Bay stuff. I got my 15. Usually I'm done. Now I need 9 more. Well, I'm not going to pick up and move and go look for 13, 14-inch fish. I'm going to stay there and take 9 more 18 to 22-inch fish out of the system. Now, you multiply that by the 8 or 9 full-time charter boats that I work with in Linwood Beach Marina, multiply that by 3 people a trip, multiply that by 2 trips a day, multiply that by 100, let's say a 90-day season, there's a lot of extra fish being taken out of the system that aren't necessarily the target fish below 15 inches. So I don't know. I'm assuming that was put into the equation, but I don't know. I'm worried that, we're going to take a lot of small fish out. We're going to have a situation I just described happen, and in 3 years we're going to be going, hey, we have no walleyes left in Saginaw Bay. We've got to do something different. So I don't know. I'm trying to get a hold of the guys from the DNR to come on and do a session with us on our podcast and talk about the why. What is the goal? What does the science say the issue is? What is the goal and what are the implementation plans to get to that goal? So, like I said, I'm assuming the guys did their work because they're great guys and they care about the fishery. So I'm assuming the science is right. I just don't know if they took into effect or into consideration the situation I just kind of talked about.
You would hope all things were considered at that time, but that could be a staggering number.
Right. Like, that's a year that, let's say I did 31 charters this year. So I had 94 customers on my boat. Now, we did a limit every day, but let's say 80 of those customers caught their limit. So let's take 80 times 3, because we get 3 extra fish. I just took an extra 240 fish out of that system in a very, very small window, and I'm only doing 1 trip a day with only 3 guys. A lot of my buddies at Linwood Beach are doing 2 trips a day with 4 to 6 people and catching limits. So now if you have another 3 fish to each of those people, it doesn't take long. You put a pretty good dent in that population.
And it seems to come at the trying to save or at least increase a perch population to take out some of the more prominent predators, so the other, you know, population of the perch can probably
and that's another conversation that I really don't want to have, especially in public. But you
fair
know, it's you don't have people coming to Saginaw Bay and staying in a hotel for 4 days, spending $40 a day on gas, spending $60 a night to stay, spending $50 a day on meals, coming 4 days at a time, a couple times a year to fish for perch, right? They do that for walleye. Does the perch fishery need to recover a little bit? Sure. But, you know, again, you and I have talked about this for forever, since I've known you. The guys who are adjusting to what the conditions are still consistently catching their 50 perch and still consistently catching big perch. Mm-hmm. The guys who know how to fish, the guys who understand what the change in water color does, what the change in the food source does, what the change in water clarity does, how fish move, where fish live, what they need to do to eat. The people who understand that are still catching their perch. It's the guy who goes out and sits in the same spot that he sat with his grandpa 20 years ago and saying, come on, perch, and doesn't change anything, who's going, there's no perch in the system. But the guys who are fishing and are moving and are working the thought process that we teach in our seminars on, you know, where's the bait, how does water color, how does water clarity, how does the wind direction, how does all this affect where fish move, the guys that fish like that and understand fishing are still catching lots of perch and lots of big perch.
No, I agree with you. And we've learned that. We've learned that from you and others over the course of the years, that you know, that one place historically is not going to be the same year in, year out. You have to move. You have to look. You have to find where the fish are, where the bait fish are, where the cover is. So many factors involved. And I'm sure there's science behind it. And I appreciate you taking such a candid approach to what you really want to say.
It's hard for me, right? Because it's hard for me because I have very, very strong opinions. I do a lot of research. I do look at the science. I do know what's going on. I know what happens on my boat. I keep good records. I talk to lots of guys who keep, and we're shaking our heads going, how many fish below 50 inches did you catch this year? You know, 20, you know, in 50 trips. So We just didn't see the huge number of small fish that apparently are in the Saginaw Bay. So I'm glad we missed it because
right.
You know they all they do is take up time. But you know I don't know. You know, but you said a great thing. I don't want to get too far off topic, but you said a great thing, right? You're going to go hunting the first day of deer season, and I'm watching guys on Facebook, right? And guys are out. You know, I got three stands set up based on the wind, and I'm cutting shooting lanes, and I'm out. I got my trail cameras out, and I'm out scouting, and I'm paying attention to where the deer are bedding. I'm finding out where the deer are moving. I'm doing all of this 4 weeks before hunting season even starts. I got all this figured out. I spent 10 days in the forest, you know, before deer season even starts, so I can go sit in a tree stand. I got all this figured out. I know exactly which way the deer are moving. I know where to sit. All this figured out. Then you go out, and you spend 3, 4, 5 days in your tree stand. Maybe get a chance to shoot a buck. Maybe you don't. Maybe you get a buck walk by that's too far. Oh, man, what a great hunting season. Saw a big buck. You know, didn't get a chance to shoot, but saw a big buck. You put 4 or 5 days of effort into it, 4 or 5 days of hunting. You see a big buck, you can't really shoot. You had a great hunting season. But you go fish and you leave the dock at 7, you don't have a limit by 10, you're bitching about how bad the fishing is. And you did no research, no work, don't understand how to use your sonar, no searching. Where's the disconnect between the hunting?
All right, hang on, Lance. Hang on.
All right.
It's Wild Michigan. I did.
Hey, this is Mark Zona from Zona's Awesome Fishing Show, and you're listening to my guy, Duran Martinez, on Wild Michigan.
I'm on a first-name basis at the tackle shop. I got a charge account running up nonstop. They ought to give me my own parking spot. I can't fit another plug in my tackle box.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. I am Duran Martinez, brought to you in part by Carnivore Club. They are bringing you the podcast that you can pick up on our website, wildmichiganradio.com. There's a link to Carnivore Club on there. Join now and use the promo code WILDMICHIGAN for 15% off. You can buy like a one-time package. You can buy a Meat of the Month Club package. Great artisanal meats, cheeses, jerkies, so some really cool stuff that you cannot find anywhere else. CarnivoreClub.co. They are bringing you the podcast for Wild Michigan. Again, a link on our website, wildmichiganradio.com, to Carnivore Club. And thanks to Tim and everybody over there for bringing that to us and helping us out here. Great Christmas gifts also. I know it's middle of October. We can talk about Christmas now. The retailers have been doing it since September. So, you know, we're just getting started. We're a little behind. Back with Lance Valentine from walleye101.com. Got him fired up in the last segment, and that's why we're going to carry him over to a third. But it's true. You know, we've been stalking deer. You know, here we are, middle of October. We're going through the lull. What are we going to do now? Well, you know what? We turn to our boats. We turn to go bass fishing in the fall because nobody else is out. Or we go walleye fishing because we still can, because the weather's still, to a degree, conducive. With the exception, like I said, lately on Lake Erie, it's been really windy and nasty. But, you know, fishing, like anything else, you have to do your research. You have all the equipment. You spend all the money on the equipment. So why not put it to good use?
And, you know, it's not just the equipment, right? It's leaving the house Saturday morning going, okay, where are we going to fish? And not doing some work on, you know, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday and figuring out, you know, where the bite is, where the wind's going to be conducive to fishing, where the clean water is, you know, where's the bait being pushed right now, and going to a spot that gives you the best chance of, you know, I'll catch it. I equate it to this when I teach it. Let's imagine this. So it's the first day of hunting season. I haven't done any research. I've got a 400-acre field that's completely mowed flat, just 40 acres of mud. I am not going to go stand in the middle of that field, close my eyes, spin around a circle, pull my trigger, and expect to shoot a deer. That sounds absolutely ludicrous, but that's how most people fish. They get there Saturday, go, let's go try over there. Or, there's a couple boats over there. Let's go try over there. Then they wonder why they don't have success fishing. Fishing is the same as hunting. The only difference is you have to use your sonar to understand what the bottom looks like as opposed to being able to use your eyes. You have to understand where the fish live. You have to understand where they eat. You have to understand where their food source is. You have to understand how wind, waves, current, and water color and water clarity moves fish to different spots. You have to understand all that. And if you put all that into practice, you're going to be a much more successful fisherman more often than the guys who just kind of randomly go out and go, yeah, this looks good here, and just start grabbing some other tackle box and hoping stuff works. So if people would apply the same amount of effort to a fishing trip that they do to a hunting trip, I guarantee the success rates would go way, way, way up. They have a lot more fun fishing, and they want to take more people fishing because they're catching fish and everybody have a good time.
Speak with Lance Valentine from Walleye 101 here on Wild Michigan. There's a link to Lance and his website, walleye101.com, on our website. Lance, you've got seminars coming up. We are in the fall season as we've, you know, kind of gone on ad nauseum. I hate to point out the obvious, but it's fall out. But you've got seminars, and you know what? The fall can be a really good time for walleye. I'm like, really, really good. And you want to help people. And that's the one thing that we've liked about you, is why you're on so doggone much with us, is because you help people find the more catchable fish, as you say.
We've talked about a little bit of this stuff, and that's the whole focus of our Walleye Education Weekend. That's why we go to Huron, Ohio, because that's where the fish are. 4 days, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday this year. It's November 5 through 8. Traditionally a great time to catch a lot of big fish in that part of the world. But we also take the fishing part and we really intermix the teaching. So we're sharing information on the water so everybody knows what everybody else is catching in live time. So as another boat's being successful, you actually hear on the radio or through the phone what they're doing. You get a chance to make adjustments to your game so you can start catching fish too. We work as a group. We have workshops every morning and every evening so guys can break off in little groups for 15, 20 minutes at a time. And we cover subjects such as custom mapping, sonar usage, GPS usage. We talk about reel calibration. I'm going to be on the water doing test rides with the new motor guide XI5 bow mount trolling motor and showing people how to read and interpret side imaging or side scan sonar so they can actually understand how the side scan works and can help them catch more fish. We got three great guest speakers this year. Thursday night, Chris Molina from Lowrance will be our guest speaker after dinner. He's going to do a seminar on what's new and coming in the Lowrance products and what's new in electronics. Friday night, we have Travis Hartman, who is second in charge of the Ohio DNR Lake Erie Western Basin area for walleyes and perch. He's going to do a little seminar. He comes every other year. He's going to do a seminar on what they've learned from the last couple of years with some of the tracking studies they've done. the walleye population, and he does all. He's a not only a biologist that's actually on the water doing surveys on the water, but he's also a tournament fisherman. So he takes all this information he learns as a biologist and turns it into how it affects us and what we can do as a fisherman to catch more fish. So he's there Friday night, and then on Saturday night, Dave Mall, the editor of Great Lakes Magazine, is going to be there doing a seminar Saturday night. So go to, actually, our new website is teachinfishin.com, no G, so TEACHINFISHIN.com. Teachinfishin.com is our new website. If they click on the events tab, they can get all the details on the trip. You can come. If you don't have a boat, don't worry. Sign up as a non-boater. We'll get you in the boat with an experienced boater. So they'll get you out there. All you got to do is share the expense of the day's fishing with the boat owner. We include lodging for Thursday, Friday, Saturday, all your meals, boat launch. Everything's included in one cheap price. So if you want to experience this fishing, understand it, learn a little bit, get 4 days of hardcore education in fishing, and understand how to use your electronics and everything that goes into becoming a better fisherman, this is the best way to do it. 4 days with a bunch of guys learning, teaching, on the water, off the water, a chance to really, really understand what this is all about. So check out our Fishing Education Weekend on Lake Erie this fall.
TeachinFishin.com. I keep it, keeping it simple. Let's not have any G's either. Let's
there you go, baby. These are overrated.
Overrated. Lance Valentine is our guest here on Wild Michigan. Again, if you missed any of this, pick it up on the podcast brought to you by Carnivore Club. Lance, we're going to have to get you in the studio here when we do these roundtable discussions about the meats that come in from Carnivore Club, because we're going to start doing these. We've got a few months of this that's going to happen. And I'm not kidding, man. This, when you look at the back of the ingredients of this, it's like, wait a minute, there's only meat and spices? How is that possible?
Well, I'll tell you what, if I get free food, I'm in.
So right.
Just tell me when and where, I'll be there.
And it'll be good to take on the boat. Maybe we should have to get some samples for you to take on the boat while you're out there as well. But no, they're good guys, and it's a really cool concept, and we appreciate having them on board with us here on the show. You're out in Phoenix right now. You're on the road and doing stuff for Motor Guide.
Yep.
How's that going?
That's going great. You know, the Motor Guide XI5 came out a couple years ago, bow mount GPS controlled motor that has a lot of really cool features, especially if you're a Lowrance user. I have the ability to, I use this a lot. I have the ability to program in S patterns as I'm trolling, so the motor will put me on an S pattern. I don't have to steer it at all. I can tell how far to make the S-turns, how long between the S-turns, and the motor just makes a nice, lazy S-turn. I don't have to worry about doing all that. I have to worry about fishing. I have a U-turn feature, so if I go through and catch some fish, I can activate the U-turn. It'll turn me around in a nice, slow, wide circle, 180 degrees, put me right back on the same exact trail I just caught fish on. Lots of really cool things. So I've been doing some, you know, what I do, traveling around doing dealer training and working with some consumer shows for the last 3 years, and we've been in Phoenix. We're on our way to New Orleans. Then we go from New Orleans to Vegas, Vegas to Dallas, and then we're home. And we got 2.5 weeks of fall fishing scheduled on Lake Erie. So, yeah, it's fun. It's fun to see different parts of the country. It's fun to talk to guys that fish a little different. And it's really fun to watch the light bulb go on when you show folks how important GPS bow control electric trolling motor is and what it can do to their fishing, how much effort it takes out of boat control and what it can do to help you catch more fish. And I do a lot of this training with one of the guys from Lowrance, so we're doing Lowrance and Motor Guide training together because they work together as a system. So it's really cool to be able to talk about, you know, two things I'm passionate
sure.
about. You know, one, teaching fishing. Number two, teaching fishing people how to use their equipment in a way to help them catch more fish. So, and get paid to do it. So
nice.
So it's pretty exciting. I really enjoy doing it, but I'm definitely itching to get home and get some fall fishing in.
You can send your suggestions, comments, or questions to us here via email at outdoormailbag@gmail.com. Now, back to Wild Michigan with your host, Duran Martinez.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. Duran Martinez, your host on the Michigan Talk Network, brought to you by HHA Sports and Costa Sunglasses. See what's out there. And our latest person that we're bringing on board is carnivoreclub.co. Check them out. Great gifts for the guy that likes and the gal that likes interesting, different cured meats and cheeses. You can get them once a month or you can buy them one time. Go to carnivoreclub.co, enter the promo code Wild Michigan for 15% off, and we will get you all hooked up with that. It's good stuff, man. I've had it, and we'll be having more and talking more about it here on the podcast, but they are bringing the podcast. Speaking now, changing direction a little bit, but taking the legislative end of things, Senator Rick Jones joins us here on the show today. Senator, as we record, a new bill passed today?
Yes, Senate Bill 446, my bill to combat chronic waste and disease in deer, passed unanimously today in the Senate. At the end of this year, the DNR will no longer have the legal power to control the spread of this disease by banning feeding and the practices that help spread this disease. So my bill will allow the DNR to continue to control this horrible stuff. You know, we certainly don't want to see any more. We've had three cases in mid-Michigan. We don't want it to spread.
No, we don't. We've had the three cases that they found so far, over 900 deer tested, I do believe. Three cases found in Meridian Township in Ingham County, all believed to be the same lineage, the same family line of CWD. And we don't have the 100, at least I don't have the 100%. Guaranteed information as to how it happened, but what we feel has happened is some infected carcass has been brought in from another state. It was buried, and the prions have a ability to grow up to the ground, and bam, you get one deer infected, and it can pass that along genetically, and it can get kind of messy. But again, you know, we need to protect our wildlife resources here.
Yes, absolutely, and I want the DNR and their scientists to be able to look at the situation and do exactly what they need to do. You know, if there's a three-county area where they want to ban feeding, I certainly want to help them do that.
Absolutely. Senator Rick Jones joining us here. An avid outdoorsman, you know, hunter and angler alike here in the state, and, of course, fighting for what we love here in the state through common sense. And one of the things, Senator, that has been brought up, our friends at MUCC have been looking at very closely, is the want to bring aquaculture and netted fish farms into the Great Lakes. And that, many of us, self-included, feel that could be kind of a detriment to our Great Lakes.
You know, absolutely. And I have introduced Senate Bill 526 to stop fish farms in the Great Lakes. This is an incredible risk to 15,000 jobs, $7 billion in the fishing industry, all to let a few corporations do fish farming. They're proposing giant floating net farms. Now, 200,000 fish concentrated in one area produce as much fish waste as a city of 65,000 people. And we saw what happened when we got too much phosphorus down in Lake Erie. We got an algae bloom. Toledo couldn't even drink their water. So I want to keep, you know, pure Michigan pure. We don't need fish farms out in our Great Lakes. You know, somebody could run over the net. The fish could escape. They'll compete for resources with our other fish. A bad, bad mistake.
It is a bad mistake, you know, to quote you, because we have a lot of things like VHS that we have run into in the past with viral hemorrhagic septicemia that we got coming into some of our waters, really had a huge fish kill. Didn't affect us as people, but affected some of the fish populations. And to have a species, even though it may be something somewhat native to the area, could still be an issue. Netted in there, and again, I'm not quite sure how they would be able to monitor so much of the activity on these fish farms within the Great Lakes.
Well, you're absolutely correct. You know, down in Chile, they had their fish farms get 70% fish kill in salmon because they got a disease. It's an unnatural way to put fish together in such a small area, and why jeopardize our Great Lakes? You know, they can, if they want to do aquaculture inland, I support it. There are ways to do it in tanks and cement ponds, and then scientifically capture the waste and sell it for fertilizer. That's the proper thing to do, not go out and mess with the Great Lakes.
No, you saw what happened. I mean, we all seen what happened back in the 70s in Arkansas when they had these Asian carp used as cleaner fish. Flooding comes in. They get into the Mississippi River. We have a big issue. Now it's knocking on the door of our own Great Lakes through the waterway in Chicago, and we're fighting just to keep that closed.
You know, absolutely, and it's shocking that the president will not allow this man-made canal to be closed. You know, we're jeopardizing all this wonderful Great Lake water and fishery with this foreign invasive species that may get through the electric net. That's all we have down there are electric nets to stop them. We hope it stops them, but it's not as secure. The president should have cement trucks pull up there and block that canal today.
You know, Senator Rick Jones joining us here with us, State Senator Rick Jones. You know, we've done the studies, we've done the research, you know, other people have done the research that shutting down that canal would not have the economic impact that it would should Asian carp get into the Great Lakes system. Financially, it could devastate our fishing industry, our multi-billion dollar fishing industry.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a $7 billion industry and at least 15,000 jobs, just sports fishing. Why would we want to jeopardize that? You know, they can still take their big containers and the ships pull up and they can get a crane and put them on another ship. They don't need to have the canal.
Absolutely not. Senator Rick Jones joining us here on Wild Michigan. Our website, wildmichiganradio.com, and you can pick up the podcast anytime from our website, courtesy of Carnivore Club. 15% discount with the promo code Wild Michigan. Now, Senator, it is bow season here in Michigan. I've been out doing some deer hunting, and I personally experienced a little bit of the October lull, as we call it, but and have moved over to duck hunting. What are you up to this fall yourself, aside from work?
Yeah, doing an awful lot of work, but planning my November 15th outing up in the beautiful Manistee Forest, where I love to go every year, where I'm allowed to use a rifle.
Yeah, the North of 57 ruled with the rifle, of course. Last year, there was a few small caliber straight jacket rifles that we could use in the shotgun zone, and that caused a little confusion, but hopefully by this year, people have got it figured out.
Well, yeah, I would hope so. I think it's pretty simple.
Pretty simple stuff. Well, as always, I appreciate your time here and appreciate you joining us on the show and taking time out of your schedule and appreciate all the hard work you're doing for Michigan sportsmen.
Okay. Have a great day.
You as well. Senator Rick Jones joining us here on Wild Michigan. Of course, you know, it's been it's nice to have sportsmen within our state Senate and our state House that know the issues, that are putting the work forward. You know, and representing us, MUCC has been very good about educating a lot of these people that are probably not the sportsmen that myself or others are. I'm not saying I'm like these sportsmen by any stretch, but, you know, taking the time to present the issues to help get them the solid scientific fact-based information to them. So, you know, that good decisions can be made and passing this unanimously. You know, a lot of the outdoor stuff should be a nonpartisan issue, plain and simple. Okay. And we should not have any questions when it comes to the sound, scientific, fact-based info that we have here. The wolf issue, the dove issue will forever stick in my craw. But hey, that's what the vote is for, right? The vote says we don't hunt doves, we don't hunt wolves. People have spoken. Doesn't mean I have to like the decision. Thanks again to HHA Sports, Lucky Buck Deer Mineral out of Osseo, Michigan, Darton Archery of Hale, Michigan. Also, our friends at carnivoreclub.co bringing you the podcast for Wild Michigan. So much going on. Whole nother hour coming your way. Check us out online, wildmichiganradio.com. 15% off at Carnivore Club using promo code WildMichigan. I'm Duran Martinez here on the Michigan Talk Network.